Over from the Kansas Agricultural Mediation Services here at K-State, Staff Attorney Forrest Buehler. Again, Forrest is on the road this winter sharing information about lease law and fence law in Kansas, and we'll take that latter up now. Fence law is maybe a little more involved than some people might think, but it's fairly well established in the state.
If you look at the statutes, you'll see that they were passed many, many years ago, and there haven't been too many amendments since that time, just to kind of update them a little bit. But the laws have been in place for a very long time. But they have evolved over the years, and so that's something that, economically speaking, for the state's economy, because of cattle and crops and how those have evolved over the years, that's where fence law has changed a little bit.
And what is a lawful or legal fence in Kansas? The physical requirements, well, they're pretty cut and dried, aren't they?
They really are. The statute very clearly sets them out. It's interesting to go back through and look. There are even requirements for a split rail fence and how that it's called a worm fence that you see sometimes across the state. So you need to look at the statute and see what's legal and not in order to be protected and know what your rights are. For example, just regular posts and wires, you have to have four strands of wire on posts that are 12 feet distance from each other. The posts have to be at least 2 feet deep. So that's posts and wires. There is also a rule for barbed wire fences. Those have to have at least three strands. The posts need to be 33 feet apart. And there's also allowance for what's called a suspension fence, where you can have posts that are 48 feet apart. And the wires need to have slats at a certain distance from each other in between that distance. There's also an electric fence, a legal fence for an electric fence, a 14-gauge wire 48 inches from the ground. So those are just a brief overview of what some of the legal fences are.
By state statute now.
By state statute. However, a county, individual county, may impose stricter requirements if they so desire. And several counties across the state have done that. But one thing that you need to remember is that a legal fence, even though you have that in place, is the minimum requirement. There may be things that your livestock, special characteristics it has, that will require more, a stricter restraint or more restraint than what a legal fence would be. So you have to be knowledgeable about that particular area.
Common sense comes into play there.
Exactly.
Now, are there occasions where strict liability would apply in the case of livestock going where they shouldn't be?
There are about three situations. If animals trespass upon land that is surrounded by a lawful fence, if the cows get out from the pasture across the road and go over the legal fence of the neighbor that the neighbor has in place, then the livestock owner can be held strictly liable for that, because the neighbor across the road had up a legal fence, and if the cows get into that, then that's strict liability. It doesn't make any difference whether the producer, livestock owner, was negligent or not. The other two exceptions are you don't see very often in Kansas anymore, but any damages to crops done by livestock being driven down the road, that's strict liability here in Kansas. Damages caused by swine being driven down the road,
which you really don't see much anymore.
Right. But those are still in place in Kansas. And so those are where strict liability applies. Otherwise, there are some other things that negligence that needs to be shown.
You have some case law that would illustrate the duty falling to the livestock owner as it stands present day.
Right. When the law says that domestic animals cannot run at large, basically what that means under the court cases that we have is that the negligence of the livestock owner must be shown by the person who is damaged by that, the actions of the livestock. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that the animals are out there. That's not enough to show that they are entitled to damages. You have to show that the livestock owner was negligent in keeping them in. One of the cases that was I always kind of smile at is Wilson versus Rule. It was decided many years ago, but apparently a producer purchased two mules and put them in his corral or fenced-in area. They got out and caused damages to a vehicle going by. So the vehicle owner sued the farmer and said, the mules were out, they damaged my vehicle, I should be entitled to damages. Well, the courts applied the running at large rule and found that the persons whose car was damaged had to actually prove that the farmer was negligent. It was not just, again, that the mules were out, but that the livestock owner was negligent in the way he held them in. And the only proof of that could be even said to be any kind of possibility of negligence was that the person whose car was damaged allegedly heard the livestock owner say, you know, I purchased these two mules just 3 weeks ago. They must have just opened the gate and started walking home to their previous owner. Well, I can see somebody saying that to maybe someone from the city.
Right.
But that wasn't enough for the court to say that the livestock owner was negligent in that respect. They had to show something that he did that was not right. That case was recently affirmed just a year ago when cattle caused damages to a vehicle operating fairly close to Wichita. The court again reaffirmed Wilson versus Rule that you must show negligence in order to recover. There has to be some type of intentional action on the part of the livestock owner. The cattle may have been roamers. They have gotten out before, and that can be shown that is the case, and the producer then doesn't take the necessary steps to keep them in knowing that they're roamers. Not rounding them up timely when he knows that they're out. Sometimes cows in heat have certain special requirements or can be more active in that respect, and there may be special requirements that you have to do to keep them in. So those special precautions need to be taken. So a legal fence is certainly part of what you have to do, but if you have these other situations, special conditions, or you need to take precautions beyond the legal fence to establish and keep those livestock in.
That said, considerable protection for the livestock producer in as far as maintaining a legal fence and restraining livestock. There are other parts of the fence law, though, one in particular that's worth noting here, Forrest, and that's who's responsible for fence maintenance between two property owners. Again, there's a fairly direct law that is enforced in this respect, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Kansas law sets up specific requirements for maintaining a partition fence. If a fence is on the boundary line between adjoining owners, then they have, under Kansas law, they have an equal responsibility to take care of that fence. They must maintain the fence in equal shares. The rule of thumb that's been used to determine that is you go to the center of the fence on the boundary where the partition fence is located, and the part of the fence to your right is what you're responsible for, and the adjoining landowner is responsible for the fence to your left, or his right in that respect. So that's generally the rule of thumb that has been used to determine that. However, that's not really part of any case law or statutory law here in Kansas. That's just kind of, a rule of thumb. But you're each responsible for equal shares of that and maintaining that fence. And so it's important for you to do that and maintain that because failure to maintain your fence can make you liable in different situations, even if it's the livestock owner cattle that get out. If they get out through your part of the fence that you don't maintain, you can be responsible for damages those cattle cause. So it's important to maintain your share of that fence.
And one final point here along that line, if there are discrepancies in fence maintenance, actually local authorities, often the county commission, can intervene and is asked to by way of a long-standing duty called fence viewing.
That's correct. The fence viewers are your county commissioners for each individual county. And upon a request, they will come out and view the fence and determine who is to be responsible for what part of the fence and what type of fence it should be. They can also view damages that may have been caused by livestock that escaped through that fence and assess what those are. So it's an easy way to determine and set who's responsible for fencing and to resolve any disputes that come up in that respect.
Very good. Well, as with lease law, if there are any questions about fence law, one's practitioner could be a good resource of information, obviously.
That's correct.
So don't forget to lean on your professionals in the legal field for these matters. Forrest, we appreciate you taking the time to go over this information that you will continue to present at more of these extension meetings around Kansas in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
Forrest Buehler is the staff attorney with Kansas Agricultural Mediation Services here at Kansas State University.